Do you remember what you were doing on Wednesday, July 29th, 2009? Of course you don't. But I do, and I'll never forget that day. In fact, I started writing about something very important that evening. Since that night, I've been writing a letter to my granddaughter, Vivian. And I've continued to write that letter for the past 15 and a half years. All right. He's back. The letter, as of today, is over 100 typed pages long. But I want to take you back to the very first page or very first pages and read just a few excerpts. Here we go. This again, this is Grandpa writing to his granddaughter that he doesn't even, she's not even here yet. On Wednesday, July 29th, your dad Ross and your mom Elizabeth invited us to meet them for dinner. Your dad said he hadn't seen us in a while and just wanted to get together. Well, that seemed odd, so immediately your grandma and I were suspicious that something was up. We met at Houlihan's restaurant in Castleton Mall. Your mom said Ross had some information about his job. And then Ross begins to tell us that they want him to take on some additional responsibilities, which will mean an additional pay raise. Then he says, and that will come in handy because Elizabeth is pregnant. We learned about the names your mom and dad had picked out for you. If you're a boy, you will be Colin. If you are a girl, you will be Alexandra. After a few minutes, the news started to sink in. A new member of the Lyons family was coming, and your mom said you would arrive in March of 2010. Later on in this letter, I wrote this. I've been thinking about you since that night on July 29th. I thought what a surprise you were to all of us. Because earlier, after your parents being married for almost 2 years, they had actually just told us that they probably wouldn't have kids for a while. So what a surprise. Then I thought about the one person who was not surprised at all. The God of heaven knew about you already. From the beginning of time, he had a plan to create you in 2009. So in June, he started making all your delicate inner parts of your body and knitting you together in your mother's womb. I'm already thanking God for making you so wonderfully complex. His workmanship is marvelous. I cannot wait to see it. But I will have to wait. And while I wait on seeing you, I will continue to pray for you every day. I am asking the Father to protect you as you grow. I'm praying that you will be perfectly formed in His image. And I'm praying that the Lord blesses you and keeps you. And that the Lord makes His face to shine upon you and will be gracious to you. And that the Lord gives you peace. Grandpa already loves you. Then a little bit later in the letter, I wrote this. It's been a long time since I last wrote you, but something really big happened today, November 4th, 2009. We found out you're a girl. While I haven't seen any pictures of you yet, I'm beginning to get a glimpse of who you are. When the medical staff took images of you inside your mommy, you turned from the camera, totally turned around. You were facing your mommy's backbone, and apparently that was not enough. Because you had your hands up over your eyes. Were you just playing a game of hide and seek? Or were you showing us your shy personality?
No! Mommy? A brother?
Looking for... And I continued writing, and I guess time will tell. But there was a pretty big change that everyone found out about today. Your new name... Instead of Alexandra, you will be named Vivian. So it's nice to meet you again, Vivian. Oh, boy. It's been a rough day for the kids, huh? And then here's the final thing I'll read from an excerpt from the from this letter. The calendar today says that it's Thursday, March 18th, 2010. Your mommy and daddy are going to the hospital in your hometown of Lebanon, Indiana. Around 7 in the morning, you will start preparing for your journey to enter this new world. The plan is for your daddy to call everyone when you are actually born so we can come to the hospital to see you. So we waited around and watched the clock. We waited and we waited. The clock seemed to creep slower and slower. Your daddy finally called and said, "You were here. You were born just a few minutes ago at 3:06 p.m. And at that moment, something incredible and unexplainable happened to me. I cannot put into words the feeling of love that came over me. I have felt love for a lot of things in my 54 years of life, but I've never felt what I started to feel then. My eyes got moist. A tear fell off my cheek. I was not sad, but overwhelmingly content. My grandchild, my first grandchild, my first granddaughter, Vivi, was actually here." So whether it's an upcoming wedding, an important event, or a day that's special to you, or the birth of a child, anticipation is a significant part of the excitement. Looking forward to the moment reflects the heart of anticipation that senses the importance of the event. Now, multiply that by thousands of people and hundreds of years, and you begin to scratch the surface of the anticipation with which the ancient people of Israel anticipated the coming of their Messiah. It was hinted at when Adam and Eve failed to obey in the Garden of Eden. It was pictured in Israel's Passover. This promised deliverer had never been far from the minds of God's people. The anticipation grew as prophets told the location of his birth and singers proclaimed the purpose of his coming. Now, anyone who's watched A Charlie Brown Christmas, you're familiar with the verses in Luke about the coming birth of Jesus. So let me share a very less familiar verse about the coming Lord with you right now. And it's from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul writes this: "But when the right time came," the right time came, "God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children." Now, when the fullness of time had come, as it reads in some Bible versions, the anticipation had not been pointless. In the purposes of the Father, the days and the months and the years were leading up to a moment, the moment when the Son would come. The Son of God would come in human flesh. The birth of Christ is the first step in the culmination of a story that would take the Son of God to the cross to offer God's love and forgiveness to a lost and dying world. Anticipation. Anticipation. That's a big thing this holiday season and every holiday season. Stores clear their shelves in anticipation of receiving their Christmas inventory. Stores also deck the halls in anticipation of Christmas shoppers coming. Amazon and UPS hire thousands of seasonal workers in anticipation of delivering multitudes of packages. Probably like you, I experienced anticipation when I was a kid. As a little kid, I would actually count down the days to Christmas. But rather than count down the days to the event, I would count down the number of times I would have to go to sleep. And then I would wake up on that special day. But imagine anticipating a special day without knowing the day or the date. That's what the Israelites, God's people, did. There was no counting the number of sleeps until the arrival of the Messiah. There was no calendar to flip to see when Christmas was marked. But they knew the arrival of the Christ child would one day come. Now, though there was no calendar, there were signs and prophecies over the years. And as the time got closer, there were some birth announcements delivered. Now, most of the time, a birth announcement is made or sent after the child is born. But in the case of baby Jesus, the announcements came before and after. Actually, there were three announcements, and they didn't come in the mail. They weren't printed by Hallmark. They were delivered by angels. Here's the first announcement. The first announcement was about the coming of the forerunner of Messiah, John the Baptist. The angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias, an elderly, childless priest. Gabriel declared to Zacharias that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a son as a fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy. Because Zacharias questioned the possibility of a senior citizen having a child, Gabriel informed him that he would be mute until the child was born, and they were to name that child John. Gabriel's announcement came true. Step one in the process of Christ coming into the world was done. Announcement number two. 6 months later, Gabriel, the angel, came to the village of Nazareth to give a message from God to a young woman named Mary. Gabriel told Mary that she had been selected for the role that had long been the desire of Jewish women, the privilege of giving birth to the Messiah. Her response was one of submission and confusion. She was ready to obey the Lord's request, but mystified as to how such a thing could occur. She was a virgin. She was engaged to Joseph, and she had no intentions of violating her vows of purity. The angel assured her that she would in no way violate her vows, and that the child would be the result of a miraculous intervention of the Holy Spirit. She also told the child that the child was to be named Jesus. And here's Mary's response as recorded in the Bible. After all that message, announcement from the angel, she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." It's not a long message. I'm about to close here with the third announcement. 9 months later, Gabriel returned with yet another message. This time, not a message of anticipation, but one of arrival. The angel of the Lord, as the Bible says, presumably it was Gabriel, appeared in the Judean skies over the shepherds of the fields in Bethlehem. The shepherds were tending their sheep and suddenly beheld a brilliant heavenly light show. This time the glory of the Lord accompanied the angel's message, and the shepherds were terrified by the sight. You have to read this part in the King James Version of the Bible. And it's also recited this way in the Charlie Brown Christmas. It says this, "And the angel said, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. I'll finish with this last thought. On March 18th, 2010, the birth of a baby, our granddaughter, Vivi, changed my life. But 2,000 years ago, the birth of another baby, Jesus, changed my life for all eternity. Can I pray, and then we'll let the kids come in. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for coming. Thank you that we have this time of year to remind ourselves that even though you've been forever in the past and will be forever in the future, there was a time that you came to this earth just like us. And for all you did for us, including dying on the cross to cover our sins and help us to be adopted into the family of God, we thank you for that too. And now, Lord, would you bless the rest of us in this season in every way that you possibly can. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.